This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Next is going to be Bread and Roses, your feminist show. And tonight we have the women of the Concertina Wire radio program. So stay tuned.
Hi, this is Justin Miller, KBOO's underwriting coordinator. Every day, local businesses support KBOO through program sponsorship or underwriting. These underwriters are people like you, progressive, diverse, and supporting real radio. So when you hear an underwriter's acknowledgement, consider giving them some of your business and telling them that you heard about them on KBOO. If your business would like to reach out to the area's 55,000 most diverse and progressive listeners, you can learn how at kboo.fm/underwriting, by email to underwriting@kboo.org, or call Justin 503-231-8032. KBOO Underwriting. Your clients are listening.
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, hosting its 29th annual anniversary celebration, June 14th through June 23rd. Specializing in 100% natural fiber clothing, Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com or fullcircleresaleportland.com.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from True West, presenting singer-songwriter Patty Griffin in concert with Max Gomez, 8 p.m. Thursday, June 20th at the Crystal Ballroom in Portland. Tickets for Patty Griffin at the Crystal Ballroom available at cascadetickets.com.
Marching at the dawn of the day, all the darkened kitchens, the mill of gray, all touched by the radiance that the sun discloses. Oh, hear the people singing, bread and roses.
Welcome to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Delphine Crescenzo.
I'm Leanne Kranz.
Bread and Roses is a collective of women bringing you news and public affairs programming that's every Friday at 6 p.m. here on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 FM. You can also find us on the web, www.kboo.fm/breadandroses. There you can listen to past shows, suggest show ideas, and post comments. You can also like us on Facebook. You can find us there at KBOO Bread and Roses. If you would like to join our terrific team of women host, engineers, and producers, please contact KBOO's volunteer manager, Ani Haynes, at volunteer@kboo.org.
Tonight, we welcome the women behind the Concertina Wire radio broadcast. This program highlights the written work and narrative stories of incarcerated and formerly incarcerated individuals, particularly women and minorities, and empowers them to have a public voice, to find community, and experience self-transformation. The Concertina Wire is a weekly live broadcast on the University of Oregon's college radio station, KWVA Eugene 88.1 FM, and online at kwvaradio.org. And the big news is the program is now rebroadcast daily on Radio New Space out of Washington State University. The Concertina Wire strives to raise awareness of the positive impact of educational programs and creative expression in correctional facilities, especially in helping to reduce recidivism. The program also highlights topics related to incarceration, such as addiction, domestic violence, child abuse, bullying, and gang violence. The broadcast was started by Lauren Lee here in the studio with us tonight, and is currently hosted by Carrie Zumbrum, who will join us on the phone from Eugene. Founder Lauren Lee supervises production of the Concertina Wire and manages and directs behind the scenes. She takes care of social media, fundraising, and community partnerships. Lauren is a graduate of the OSU Adult Education Master's Program, is a GED faculty member at Clackamas Community College, and is the education manager for Let Us Grow Garden Foundation. This is a really cool local nonprofit that facilitates vegetable gardening classes in prisons throughout Oregon. And we will feature that organization on Bread and Roses on September 11th. Also with us tonight, Carrie Zumbrum. She is the host and outreach coordinator of the Concertina Wire. She has expanded the program's reach and diversified the guests and content of the show. And after listening to a few of the broadcasts, I can say she brings much heart to the endeavor. Carrie also mentors volunteers who express interest in becoming involved in the show, and she is currently studying to be a drug and alcohol counselor. Welcome, Lauren Lee and Carrie Zumbrum.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thanks. Welcome, hi. Carrie.
Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
Well, I was wondering if we could start tonight by actually talking about the mission of the show. What's the meaning of the name as well? Maybe Lauren, you want to take that question?
Sure. So the meaning of the name, Concertina Wire, is just a fancy name for razor wire. So, but wire, the word wire obviously has news-related implications and communication, metaphorical meaning. And so I thought concertina is just such a pretty word, and a much more eloquent word than razor. But because we're featuring stories of formerly and currently incarcerated individuals, that some sort of symbolism related to the prison system, to prison imagery, and then taking that really sort of harsh reality and turning it into something positive and creative and healing, really transformative for the guests that we have, was a fun play on words. So that's where the name is from and what it means. The original mission of the show, the current mission of the show is and always has been to feature the creative nonfiction written works of currently and formerly incarcerated women, men, of course, and their pieces have been featured on the air, and we welcome them as well. But the big intent and the original motivation was to highlight the stories of women coming out of prison. And that has expanded to include not just written works, but live interviews that Carrie conducts on the air with a whole gamut of people who are related to the incarceration system in one way or another, whether it's, you know, the children of people who are incarcerated, formerly incarcerated men. Just last night, she had somebody on the air who was involved in a different prison radio program. Pretty interesting interview. I got to listen to it today.
It was great.
So the mission really is to provide a unique and safe radio voice for folks who have these interesting stories that aren't really otherwise heard or respected, or that have a specific venue, for the sake of helping empower the readers and the guests, and helping transform and shift the paradigm of how we perceive those who have been incarcerated and who are currently incarcerated.
It's interesting that your vision, the show is inspired by a book that you read.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Inspired by the written word yourself.
Yeah. That is ultimately what led me to graduate school, actually. So when you, we spoke before we went on the air, and you had asked me, what was the motivation for this show? What inspired you? And really, that started with stumbling upon Wally Lamb's Couldn't Keep It to Myself, which is a work that he put together. He went into York Correctional Institution in Pennsylvania. I think it's in Pennsylvania. And it's a women's prison. And he facilitated writing workshops for some of the long-term inmates, women inmates in that facility, and got them to produce these amazing creative nonfiction works and published it. I read that book, and this was before I was really looking at graduate school, and I thought, that's what I want to do. I want to teach. I want to teach writing, and I want to empower individuals who have a criminal background, or if I'm lucky enough to go into a prison system and do exactly what he did. That led me to a master's degree in adult education. I found that degree at OSU, and it was a great program. Graduated last year with my master's, just about a year ago today, actually. And as part of the internship requirements, I was able to go into Lane County Jail and teach some writing classes. And so that was really the original inspiration for the show. And once we had the writing being written in the class, and this was much less time than Wally Lamb put into it, obviously, but just getting some of the basic, really rudimentary stories that the women were writing about themselves as part of their GED writing class, I was just blown away all over again. And it proved to me that, yes, you know, this is a pattern that incarcerated women and men and whoever are capable of writing really compelling stories that deserve to be shared. And so that led me to KWVA, which humbly accepted the idea, and we've been on the air ever since.
Yeah. Lauren, can you speak a little bit more about how the show materialized? What was, your original proposal? Was it just to be reading writings from people who were incarcerated? How did that become then the Concertina Wire?
That's a good question. And I mean, I could just talk about that for the full hour, so I'll try to give you a synopsis. But basically, I had a very small stack of writings and essays that I really wanted to share with the world. And I didn't have a lot of other content, and my internship in the jail was very limited. And actually, it turned out that I wasn't allowed to take those pieces out and read those. So I needed to come up with sustainable, good, related content. And so that required reaching out really at a national level to a list of other nonprofits that already had published material right around Portland. I can give them a shout out. They facilitate writing workshops in different facilities and in lots of other parts of the greater Portland community. And they have published works, and they were generous enough to grant me permission to read some of those on the air. So that was pre-recorded. That was all. I was doing the production and, dumping everything into Pro Tools and spending hours and hours to create this weekly half an hour show. Prisoner Express was another website that had some similar published material online, and they gave me the same permission. So once I had some connections for content, I had to find the actual outlet. I approached a few radio stations in the Eugene area that I won't mention, who either didn't call me back or it didn't fit their programming format, whatever. It's a startup, and how reliable can that be? So I understand that. But I'd actually worked at KWVA as an undergraduate at the University of Oregon. And so I still know the general manager. She's the same general manager who's been there for the past 10 years. And so I pitched the idea to her and the news director at the time, Mark, and they were both excited about it, and they had the space for it. The turnover there is very high. It's a student-run station, so they're constantly changing programming. But because it was going to be narrated, it was all talking, they seemed to think, well, that'll fit in our news formatting sort of time slot. And that's where we've been ever since. So the news director said, great, can you do it weekly? I said, oh my God, that's a lot. But if that's what we get, then I'll fill the space. And so originally I was producing it in the studios of KWVA, spending hours and hours at a time trying to recruit other voices to read the pieces that I had permission to read and pre-record a half an hour worth of poetry and prose and anything I could get my hands on. So it was a struggle for the first several months to try to facilitate that on my own. And yes, I wanted to be reading pieces, but the long-term goal was to have a balance between reading other people's pieces, having people read their own pieces, and then eventually moving into a live format where people could come on the air live and talk about their experiences and or read pieces.
And on that note, on the phone tonight, we have Carrie Zumbrum, the current host of the Concertina Wire radio program. We're highlighting that tonight. It's a show that features the stories and writings of incarcerated and formerly incarcerated individuals, especially women and communities of color, any marginalized, other marginalized demographics, excuse me, in our fair state. Carrie, this, you're such an interesting person because you were a guest and now you're the host. So can you tell us how you first became aware of the show and how you got involved as a guest?
It's quite funny, actually. I was terrified. I was an intern at one of the transitional facilities down here for people getting out of prison, and I was interning there, and Lauren had called Jim Jackson, who is the mentorship director over at Sponsors, Inc., and she asked her, hey, do you know anybody who has any poetry or anything that would be willing to come on the show and read it? And so Jen asked me, and I'm like, sure, you know, it sounded like a good idea. And then when it became real, I was horrified. I was so scared.
She was shaking.
like I was crying. Like I was, and it was just horrifying. But so then Lauren came to, something happened at the studio that we were unable to do in the studio. So Lauren came out to my job, excuse me, and she made me feel really comfortable. It was awesome. And so it was recorded. She came out there and recorded it. We didn't get to do it live. And I read my poetry, and it wasn't so bad, you know, and I thought, hey, that's kind of cool, actually. And then, I don't know, it was about a month or two later, I think, that I had heard that she, excuse me, had was needing some more people to come do some readings. So I'm like, hey, would you like to, you know, I'd like to be a part of your show. You know, how do you feel about this? And so I just kind of became a part of, you know, helping her get some individuals to come on the show and come live so she didn't have to record. And so that was kind of cool. And so we started recording, I mean, doing it live. And then in her endeavors, her life kind of took better steps, or different steps, I should say, and towards her direction of her degree. And so she ended up moving, and so I've just been doing the show.
She left you there.
I abandoned her.
You know, she is just a keyboard away from me, though. Okay, I'll let you know.
Yeah, it sounds like you really work together well.
Yeah, Carrie, I was wondering if you would do us the immense pleasure of actually reading that piece that you first read on the show when you were first on the Concertina Wire, Angels Cry.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
I wasn't sure if you knew which one I did, but you do your homework.
Oh, yes, we did.
Okay. And, you know, it's kind of cool. This was written in 2007. I had been in prison already. In case people don't know, I was actually incarcerated myself. I did federal charges, and so I was in prison for 2 years. And while you're federal, you don't just get to your mother prison. You have to, like, go to all these other different places before you get to your prison. So by the time I got to mine, which was in 2007, I was really just kind of hating it and not really knowing what direction I was going in my life. So, and that's when this is written. So, excuse me. Okay, it's called Frail Old Angels Cry. While sleeping one night, I dreamed I saw an angel, and she wasn't looking so well. Her body was bruised and battered, and her wings were ripped and torn. I saw that she could barely walk. She was tired, and her hope was worn. I walked over and asked her, Angel, how could this be? She tried to smile as she gathered her thoughts. I am your guardian angel, quite a task as you can see. You've lived a very wild life, with that you must agree. You've broken laws and broken hearts. So what you see you've done to me, these bruises are from alcohol and pills you have used so dangerously. I've often paid the bill. My wings you see are ripped and torn, a noble badge I bear. So many times I've shielded you from tales you were unaware. Yes, each mark bears a story of pain and dangers I have destroyed. You have made me wish more than once that I was unemployed. If only you can embrace life and choose to do so on your own, it would stop the pain and suffering that comes from being alone. I will be here to watch over you, at least until my powers fail. As for when that will be, all I can say is I'm getting old and frail. When I woke up, I thought about the dream and how much she seemed to care. Then I looked around my prison cell, and my heart sank in despair. As for some kind of life within these walls, I wonder why I even try. Then at a distance, I heard a frail old angel cry. That's it.
Thank you, Carrie. This was really moving. I was wondering if you could share how it felt to read this on the air for the first time back in 2007, you said. How did that affect you, and what kind of feedback did you receive?
That I wrote in 2007. Okay. I read it for the first time last year with Lauren.
Okay.
How it feels today is way different than how it felt back then. When I first started with Lauren, when I first very read it, it was like, okay, I was kind of like a little baby, just like being born. That's how I felt. And right now, as I read this right now, I just kind of look back at my life and I think, wow, was this really me? Mm. You know, I can't even imagine feeling like that because of how I feel today, because of how much I've been empowered by so many different things that the show has brought and the people have brought and just my life in general. I had a really hard time with public speech. And Lauren, you know I did. I was terrified in so many aspects. And looking back, you know, laying there in my cell thinking about all the things that I did and writing this, these are real. These are real feelings. These are real thoughts that occurred. Like, really, why even try in here? Like, what is the object? What is the purpose? Because when I get out, you know, I'm 48 years old. What am I going to do with my life? You know, where am I going? I messed up so much that, like, you know, I'm old. I can't go back to school. I can't do anything. Well, that wasn't true. You know, so now that I look and I read it, I actually feel different inside myself. As far as getting feedback from other individuals, I've gotten really good feedback. This poem was submitted to, Lauren, do you remember what that was?
No.
The writing,
frankly.
You did the poetry thing down here in Eugene, I'm sorry.
Oh, the thing that was at the library, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'll think of the name in a minute.
Yeah, and so it was actually submitted. I submitted this and another one, and both of my poems were chosen to read. It was the Lane Literary Guide poetry reading that they had for Sponsor Inc., their anniversary. And so when I read it there, that really, I had a lot of people come over to me and just, you know, tell me how wonderful of a writer that I am, that I should continue mm-hmm. writing, and they can't believe my story, and it's been cool. It's been interesting.
Carrie, that piece was beautiful. I had tears rolling down my face.
I was just gonna out you for that.
I mean, incredible, beautiful.
No, thank you.
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm Del Crescenzo, and I'm here with Leon Kranz today, and we are highlighting the women behind the Concertina Ryer radio program that's airing down in Eugene, and we have with us Lauren Lee, who is the founder, in the studio, and Carrie Zumbrum on the phone from Eugene. We're going to take a short musical break, and we'll be right back. Leon, what are we playing?
This is the first of two songs we're going to play tonight by Annie Humphrey, the Ojibwe singer-songwriter, in collaboration with Lakota poet James Starkey. He wrote these lyrics about in memory of his dear friend who did not make it out of the South Dakota prison system. This is Lakin's Flame.
That's how it was for me when I started.
How did, yeah, how?
I'm like, I hate to say this, but I'm like desensitized to it now.
You'd have to get some skin.
Yeah.
Is she okay?
No, Daniel's having an emergency, so she left.
My, okay, are you okay? Do you, yeah, I'll have, to, would you like to sit here so you can at least see Del?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we switch?
I know.
Yeah.
It feels like that to me too.
Can you turn on blue then? I know, that was seemed alien. It was strange.
We can check your volume.
And you're free to...
You're listening to Bread and Roses. I'm your host, Del Crescenzo.
And I'm Leanne Cron.
We are here in the studio with Lauren Lee, who is the founder of the Concertina Wire radio program. And on the phone is Carrie Zumbrum, who is the current host of the program.
So, Carrie, how did it feel when your guest, I'm sorry, did I say Lauren?
You said Carrie.
Excuse me.
You're looking at
I
me.
I thought so. I made a mistake.
We're gonna, we are in three different
Carrie,
rooms.
I'm still blown away by your writing. I've got to get it together. Okay. I'll bring you in a minute here. Lauren, how did it feel when Carrie approached you and your former guest and wanted to get involved in the show?
It was literally the big break I was waiting for. Because that happened shortly before I finished my master's, and this was an extension of my internship in the jail. So I was getting credit for it at the time, and then it was going to end. My credits were going to end, and I didn't know what was going to happen when I graduated. Hopefully I would get a job teaching, which is what happened. So when she called and said she wanted to get involved, the first conversation we had was, oh, well, I know people. You know, these are my people. You want the stories of my people. They're not my people. You know, they're Carrie's people. And so so she had a lot of connections, and she was willing to do that legwork and do that outreach, which is why we dubbed her the outreach coordinator. And so it was exactly the step that needed to happen when it needed to happen. It was the big break.
And it was in line with your vision so much.
It is the vision.
When we do radio, you know, you want to reach a certain audience, and you want to, you know, speak to them and make them feel as much a part of it, and you got that validation back.
And she's, I mean, Carrie, with her background, with her criminal background, and having come out and gone to school and made it through school and trying to turn her life around, she epitomizes what the show was intended to do. She is the show in the
right.
flesh.
It's and how so it should be. No
the
offense.
Way it unfolded was yeah. just, it's perfect. And I know that sounds cliche, but it's perfect.
Right on.
I was wondering if you guys could talk about some of the topics that you cover. Maybe Lauren, you want to talk about what you covered at first, and then Carrie, you can jump in and share what you are, the topics that you are covering today.
Sure. So I'll cover that first, just because I come first chronologically, but Carrie can answer this much better. So like I said before, a lot of the original shows were pre-recorded readings of poetry. It's very similar to the poetry that Carrie just read, which is her own work. And I really tried to highlight the poetry of women and minorities, so people who are identifying as cultural minorities. I actually interviewed somebody live who identified as transgender and who was working to working to deal with issues around gender in prisons in the northeast part of the United States and Canada. The content was really diversified. The few live interviews that I did when Carrie started doing that outreach and sending me people to interview were mostly folks who had been incarcerated, almost all women who had been incarcerated, and came on the air and just talked about how education has helped them, how going to school has helped them, about their motivations for turning their lives around, which usually included children or grandchildren, and how empowering and motivating it was to be reconnected with family and to be getting custody and to have that first job, even if it was minimum wage. And so a lot of topics like that. And then Carrie has just taken the content to all kinds of new levels. So I'll let her speak to where we are now. Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, I tried to follow in, you know, what Lauren was doing, and now I do, I mean, I do everything. I've had kids on. I've had, there was a show of bullying. Mm-hmm. We had children that have parents that are incarcerated, but the youngest one I think we had was 9 years old. And she was there, and she talked about her dad being incarcerated for how long, and kind of gave her view as a child, you know, what she has to go through, so that, like, other people are listening, you know, this is reality. You know, this goes far beyond, you know, being inside. This is about reality on the outside. How do we help also the kids, the families from the incarcerated? And so I try to get that out there. I've had my granddaughter on this show. My son was incarcerated for 6 years, and he was just released last month. And so I had my granddaughter on there at the same time we had the other young lady. And they both got to talk, to share about how yucky it is to be in school when it comes to having family things, and your mom's the only one that gets to go, you know, or your grandparents don't want to be a part of your life because of their dad. And that's one subject. This Thursday coming up, actually, is domestic violence. I have a young lady who's going to be on and talk about domestic violence, how it was for her. You know, it just happened to catch my eye because I have known her from prior, and then she came down to where I work, and she thought she had seen her ex, and her face was just devastated. I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, there's my ex right there. Oh, my gosh, what am I going to do? And you know, talking to her, I was like, wow, you need to come on the show and share this, because this is, you know, absolutely insane. Like, what are you doing? You know, so we're going to talk, you know, things like that. The gentleman last night that we had on the show, he talked about a lot of different things, which was awesome. So it's just a variety of everything. And the object that I'm trying to do is both for the people on the inside as well as the individuals outside, and to let them know that they're not alone out here. You know, if you have somebody on, you know, behind the law, there are support groups out here. If you're getting out of prison, here's some places that you can go to. And I try to get that starting every last Thursday of the month. We're going to dedicate the whole full half hour to just reading poetry, prose, and whatever else comes into me from individuals behind the wall or women that have been released and want to come on the show and read for us. So,
Carrie, I understand you've also covered some controversial topics, things that nobody was talking about.
That's me.
Like, you gave me a couple of examples when we talked last week, suicide and gay and lesbian issues.
Yeah, most definitely. Gang activity is another one, mm-hmm. you know. Suicide is a big thing on the inside mm-hmm. and on the outside. Mm-hmm. Being gay, being a lesbian, transgender, we had a gentleman, her name is Victoria, actually, and I learned a lot from her. And she was born a he, and she came on and talked about it, and we had a really good response from that. The only thing I won't talk about is politics. I don't do politics very well. It always seems to get me in a fight, and I'm really not thinking that's a good thing.
Well, and you know, we try to avoid that generally anyway, because the incarceration system, the penal system, is so politically charged in so many ways. And really, that's a lot of the attention that corrections gets in mainstream media is, are you pro-death penalty? Or are you anti-death penalty? Are you, you know, are you pro this? Are you pro that? It's corrections. Should we be educating them or should we be punishing them? And it's so easy to pick a side. Whereas with this, you know, there's really no debate that they're people. They're people, yeah. And they have a story, and that's it, and that's all we aim to do. So Carrie's been, you know, very good at staying out of let's pick a side on something. It's just about sure. You're a human being with a story, and we want to give you a voice for that. That's what we do.
The other thing that I won't talk about is the crimes, because when people hear the crime, then we're defined by our crime. That's not who that was then. Mm-hmm. Who we are today is not who we were then. Mm-hmm. And that's part of why I will not discuss anybody's crimes. I just won't do it.
Well, would you discuss with us maybe a little bit of your daily life being incarcerated and how that has affected you, but also how it has affected your family? I really like that you brought up the fact that, you know, you have children on the show. You have, you know, people who are on the outside and are being affected by, you know, having their family member, their loved one on the inside.
I'll give you two sides. I'm going to give you the first side, being the mom. Okay, I had a son who was in prison for 6 years in Folsom, California. In Folsom Prison, Old Folsom, and that place is no joke. As his mom, I worried every single day when I got out of prison that I would get a phone call. And I'm sorry, but, you know, you have to come down and get your son's body. That is something that is the reality out here, that people... You know, when you say, oh, my kid's in prison and blah, blah, blah. Wow, really? Because I'm sorry. You know, if you ever want to talk, call me. Because the feelings that you get when you lay in your bed at night and wish that your child was home or is insane. It's just insane. It's just, it's really heartbreaking. And I am so glad that ride is over with my son. I mean, there wasn't a day after his mom that didn't go by that I just prayed that this wasn't the day I was going to get the call. And that feeling, and I'm choking up about it because that feeling stayed with me until I picked him up last month. And when I hugged him, I was like, yes, yes, it's over with, you know? Mm-hmm. So those are things that we talk about on the show.
Yeah.
And then for me being inside, it changed my life. I'm alive today because I went to prison. I believe that. Being in prison, you know, I went to different prisons, which none of them are good, okay, but there's some that are better than others. And Ray last night pretty much said, you know, he had a real graphic view of it, and it's the truth. You know, your toilet is inside your cell with you. Hmm. And, if you have a cellie, like, there's the bathroom. You have no privacy, so you need to get used to that right away. Okay, you change. You eat your food in your cell where the toilet is. That's, you know, you just get used to it. You don't really use your toilet that often. And then you have your different cliques, you know. And unfortunately, I was one that I'm gang-related. So when I went in there, I had to really... watch my P's and Q's, which I did. I chose not to click up when I was in there because I didn't want to have to worry about that. I was getting too old. I had a granddaughter, and that was a part of my world for, you know, since she was born. And when I went in, she was 5. And so I was like, you know, I'm not going to do this. I made her a promise that I would never go back to prison, and I haven't. And she holds me to that. And when she thinks I'm messing up, she'll say, Grandma, you promised me. You know. That's so cute. A little bit of anger management probably goes a long way with me. But, you know, it's not a nice place in prison. I began my education in prison. Once I got to my mother prison, which was in Arizona, something clicked. It was like, what are you going to do with your life when you get out? You have to do something different. But I didn't know how to do. I didn't know what to do. I was a drug user for 29 years. I was a gang member for 25 of those years. You know, so what do you do when you want to change? Get an education. So I thought, okay, you know, I've got another year to waste. Why not waste it on learning something? Well, I learned something, and it wasn't a waste. You know, it was the best thing that I could have ever done. I remember because I went to Rio Salado, which is an online class, which they work with the federal prison over there in Arizona. And so I would send my test out every week, and it was like, that was the only mail I got because nobody wrote me. Everybody seems to forget you when you go to prison, you know. But as soon as you get out, they want money and they want this and that. Well, so the only mail I got was from my teacher, and that was so exciting to, like, open it up and see her comments about my work. And that gave me something. Each week built me up a little bit more. So I started my education for my CADC, which is my chemical dependency drug and alcohol classes. And when I was released, I continued that education out here at LCC, and I did it. I got it.
On that note, I'd love to kind of talk about education for a minute. Yeah. Lauren, you mentioned that education you feel is the cornerstone for lowering recidivism. That's the right pronunciation? That word is new to
recidivism.
Me.
Recidivism.
Yes. Recidivism.
It's a tricky word.
Can you talk about the impact of education programs like the ones Carrie accessed when she was inside?
Sure. And just for folks who don't know the word recidivism, it basically means reoffending and going back to prison. So when we talk about recidivism rates, we talk about the rate at which, say, you know, 100 people get released and 20 of them end up reoffending and going back to prison. That's a 20% recidivism rate. And the other term I would like to define really is education. And what does that mean? Because people think, go get an education, that means I need to learn fractions and take math classes and learn how to write a sentence and use punctuation and commas and periods. I can tell you as a GED teacher, there's more to education than that. And I, you know, that's an understatement. I think hopefully that's obvious to anybody who's received an education. Mm-hmm. But to those who are really terrified about the idea of quote unquote going back to school or getting a GED or enrolling in classes, first of all, a lot of people have had K through 12 experiences that consisted of punishment, failure, you're not good enough, mm-hmm. terrible upbringings in the home, whatever other factors contributed to a negative experience. And so the idea of quote unquote going back to that, going back to school, is like prison or school. Because at least in prison, they feed me, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's a tricky situation because people have different perceptions of what education is versus what it should be. And so when I say that education is a huge factor contributing to reducing recidivism rates, when I'm talking about education in this context, I mean education that's happening behind the wall, like the programs that Carrie was involved with. And that kind of class can consist of GED, and there's plenty of GED programs in prisons, including in Oregon, and in county jails. There's education for drug and alcohol. There's faith-based education. There is the Let Us Grow Garden Foundation that I happen to be a part of. And we teach, you know, home horticulture classes behind bars. And so, quote-unquote, education can assume many different forms and can mean a lot of different things. But if it's teaching the individual to recognize that the system, the educational system, works for them and not vice versa, that is an extremely empowering revelation. And once you realize that your teachers work for you, there's a lot of teachers out there that are going to want to kill me after this, but as a teacher, as a GED teacher, I have to tell my students, I work for you. This system is set up for you. We are a support system for you. I don't expect you to show up and impress me. You don't work for me. And when you, and you know, and obviously in prison, you don't, you want to empower, but you don't want to empower too much, you know, in a prison context. But you do want to give individuals the understanding that an education is supposed to be a system of doors that opens to more doors exponentially. And, you know, you teach them what exponentially means too. So in that context, I think education is the biggest cornerstone to lowering recidivism, because you're teaching people that they have other options once they're out, that there are these support systems in place, that there are reentry programs, that there are people like Carrie and people like me who care, and that and drug and alcohol programs that are available. And I haven't been to prison. I haven't spent any time behind bars. But based off of everything that I've heard and seen from the people that I've met in, you know, on this journey and in working in my other jobs, it's that that door slamming behind you is the scariest sound you'll ever hear in your life. And that's disappointing to me. That should be, now I have opportunity. Now I have some options. Now, because I've had some education while I was in my quote unquote correctional institution, that I have a new path and that I have education to back me up and that I feel empowered enough to seek out more information and how can I contribute to my new life? How can I take control of my life? And I think education is the foundation of that new mentality, and I think that it's missing in a lot of prisons, and based off of what I've heard from the guests that I've interviewed from their lives, that hasn't been their experience.
Carrie, do you want to add anything to that and talk a little bit more about how education has changed your life?
You know, all I can say is Lauren hit it on the head. If there were more individuals like Lauren in the prisons, allowed to come in the prisons and empower us in the sense that, like, I needed to know, and I still do. I am always asking Lauren, hey, you know, what about this and what about that? And I am 20 years on Lauren, okay? So, you know, but drugs hold you back. So when you spend your whole life doing drugs and running in gangs, that's all you know. And when you're in prison, you have choices. But do you really know your choices? No. I just knew that I had to do something, and, like, I was in a camp. The only thing I could do was go to work, which I did. I went to work every day. I made 3 cents an hour. Woohoo! Hey, I was rocking it, though. And then you come back to your cell, and what do? Mm-hmm. Nothing. You do absolutely nothing. And it's like, there's got to be something. I have to do something because I don't want to be a loser my whole life. And the teacher was amazing. She's like, you can do this. And every piece of paper that I got back from her was something, you know, if it was wrong, she would always have something positive to say at the ending, yeah. You know. And that's what we need in the prisons. We need more of that. Mm-hmm. Because I never got that in any part of my life. I never got anything that said, hey, you're doing this good, and hey, you're doing this right, and you know what, you're messing up, but maybe let's try it this way, mm-hmm. You know, so it just has to be more of that.
And Carrie, can I ask if you had any education before? I'm just wondering if there's a correlation between maybe an incomplete education or a gap in education in individuals and then going to prison.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, like, did you have schooling before you ended up in prison? And do you feel that maybe because, you know, you didn't meet a teacher like the one you met in prison before, then that kind of, like, led you to a path of drugs and gangs?
No, I actually, my home is what led me to drugs and gangs. Mm-hmm. I was sexually molested by my grandfather for many years. And my whole family has committed suicide, I only had my grandmother Bonnie and my brother were the only two that were left in my family, my mom, my grandfather, my uncles. So I didn't have a good family structure there. So you go out and find it. Even though I came from a wealthy family and an educated family, I didn't have what goes along with that. And that was just love, just, you know, being there. And so I went out and found it, and I found, I chose my family, my gang family, and they were there for me. You know, it sounds crazy, but I was safe. I was safe with them. No matter what I did, I felt safe. I felt like nobody could hurt me ever again. So that's pretty much what led to me going to prison.
Thank you for sharing that. Very empowering, I feel, to hear you, you know, talk about your successes today and where you're coming from. I think it's just really providing a lot of perspective for me.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. I mean, that's part of what our show is about, too.
Yeah, I guess that was going to be my next question, which is, like, why is this show so vital?
And we're talking about the concertina wire for those listening and might just be tuning in. The Concertina Wire is a radio program out of Eugene that gives voice to incarcerated and formerly incarcerated individuals, in particular women and marginalized communities. We have with us Lauren Lee, the original founder, and the current host, Carrie Zumbrum. So, yes, can you please to continue on to Dell's question, why are shows like this so vital?
I would say to that that the short answer really is that this show and shows like it, wherever they may be and exist, are important and vital because they demonstrate to the guests that their stories matter. And it's really just as simple as that. If we had ended the show when I graduated, which would have been very easy to do if Carrie had not stepped up, what does that say to the people who've been on the air? That I don't have the time anymore? I mean, how do you say that? I was doing this, but I ran out of ideas. I mean, that shows the guests and it shows the audience that you're not really serious about this. So I think that, especially now that we're growing and being featured on other stations, it's really hitting home to people that these stories matter. And I'm not the only crazy person out there that thinks that. And Carrie's not the only person who had a story who came and said it. Now it's done and we closed the book. It's an ongoing story. It's a collaboration of story. It's new effort with more people. And so I say that it's vital. I think Carrie can speak to this more than I can because she's really transformed through this. But ultimately that it demonstrates to the guests and to the listeners that these stories are important and deserve to be shared.
I agree 100%. I agree that's there's so much I can't even put the words to how important this show is because of the people that are touched by it. Not only the people that do the show, but the listeners, you know, for the addict that's sitting somewhere at home listening to the show, because there's a lot sitting at home going, you know, how do I get out of this, you know? We have numbers, you know. We give them some advice, like through talking to each other, they hear that they're not alone, that there is something out there. You know, for the lady who's being beat up at home, there's places out there, and it is so important that we never stop doing this. I'm just not ever going to not do this, okay? This is just it.
And the show wouldn't have carried on if it weren't for Carrie. If Carrie hadn't stepped up and said, I want to do this, I said, great, you can host because I'm leaving, it would have ceased to exist. And so she recognizes how vital it is, and that's why she was able to step in. And I'm so thankful for that because I've been able to continue to participate in the more distant capacity that I do. But yeah, it just shows that the stories matter. And you never know who's listening.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Carrie, I understand you brought another piece with you tonight to share. You were originally a guest on the Concertina Wire reading your work, and now you're the host. But if you don't mind, we'd love to hear something else from you.
Okay, I have a few. So I'm thinking I'm going to redo another one that I think I read on the show, too. And this was to my best friend, my grandbaby's, Kasiah, my granddaughter, her mom. And she is my best friend, and she's an amazing woman and an amazing mom, and I wrote this to her. It's called Changes. Friend forever, you promised till the end. We did everything together. You were my best friend. Excuse me. When I was sad, you were by my side, and when I was scared, you felt my fear. You were my best support. I needed you. If I needed you, you were there. You were my greatest friend. You always knew what to say. You made things better. As long as we had each other, everything would be okay. Somewhere along the line, we came apart. I was here, and you were there. It tore a hole in my heart. Things were changing. It was like having salt without pepper or a sun without a moon. And suddenly we were miles apart, two different people with nothing the same, as if we hadn't ever been friends. Although we know deep in our hearts, either of us was to blame. You had new friends, and luckily so had I. But that didn't take away the hurt. The loss of our friendship made me cry. As we grow old, things will change. but that won't end. You will always be my best friend. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yes.
I was wondering, Carrie, if you can tell us, as we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon with the show, what's in the future for the Concertina Wire? Where do you want to take the show?
I want to keep it doing exactly what we're doing, but I would like to, and I will make it happen. I will get it in prison. I will get it so that we can be heard in prison and have it so that people out here can talk to their people in there, if only by giving a shout out. That is my goal. But I want to keep the show exactly what it is right now, because we help people, we touch people, and people touch us, and people help us, and that's how I want to keep it.
And I would just add to that that we want grants.
There you go. Yes.
Money is in the future, hopefully.
I see it too.
So how can folks learn more about the Concertina Wire radio broadcast, and how can they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with feedback, comments, stories to share, ideas, volunteerism requests, just about anything that they want to say by emailing us at concertinaradio@gmail.com, and that's concert, like going to a concert, I-N-A, radio, at gmail.com. The website is concertinaradio.org. We're on Facebook if you look for the Concertina Wire radio program, or if you just search for KWVA, you could probably find it that way. There's a page. We're also on Twitter as Concertina Radio, so at Concertina Radio. And they can listen online every Thursday at 6:30 Pacific time on kwvaradio.org, or if you're in the Eugene area on 88.1 FM. You can also hear rebroadcast. That's live, by the way, on KWVA. It's rebroadcast, however, daily as of this coming week at 7 o'clock Pacific time on radionewspace.net, which is radio, NOUSPACE.net. It's a French play on words. We in French is new. So new space is like we space, which is like our space. And big thanks to John Barber at Washington State for hooking us up with that daily rebroadcast. People are going to get sick of us. I love it.
I understand you have an opportunity in the UK as well.
Potentially. I haven't heard back from them yet, but Carrie and I were recently invited to participate at the What Is Radio conference at the U of O in downtown Portland through the journalism school. And our station manager, Charlotte, was there too. It was really cool. Carrie had never been on a panel before. I said, we're going to be on a panel. She said, on the wall? I don't, because it's just so new to her. You know, it was just such a new culture to her. And so to have her there was really powerful. People were crying in the audience, like you were crying today, Leanne. And it just, her, you know, the whole story of Carrie and taking this over is just that awesome for people. So Carrie and I were on the panel with Phil of the Prison Radio Association, which is a group that broadcasts by and for inmates. So it's a radio station within the prison walls, broadcast from within the walls to other prisoners in the United Kingdom. And he said to me, as you know, this guy's international, he flies all over the world and does this, and he goes, we'd love to rebroadcast your show on our, you know, on our, oh my god, you've got to be kidding me. So hopefully that will happen, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. The radio news space is definitely happening, and hopefully soon we will be heard by incarcerated folks in the United Kingdom.
Congratulations,
thank
guys.
You.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, we want to thank you, Lauren Lee, and Carrie. Let me find your name.
Zumbrum.
Zumbrum, thank you. And Carrie Zumbrum for being on the show tonight. I think that this has been very empowering. We are a radio show as well, and this is why we exist. And it was just amazing to be able to highlight why you guys exist.
Yeah. Well, it'll be great to have you guys on our show next time.
Yeah!
Yeah, for sure.
No, this was a great opportunity for us and really great outreach for us. It's interesting to be on the other side of the interview, but thank you.
Did we do a good job?
You did awesome. I only wish we had 3 more hours.
No doubt.
Thank you so much, Carrie, for joining us on the phone.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. Listeners, as you know, Bread and Roses is a news and public affairs show that brings you feminist news and public affairs. That's every Friday. KBOO 90.7 FM is where you can listen to us. You can also go to KBOO's website, kboo.fm/breadandroses, to maybe you missed the beginning of the show and you want to listen to it. So that's where we podcast our shows. You can also find us on Facebook. We are KBOO Bread and Roses, so make sure to do that. And if you want to join our terrific team of women, host, engineer, and producers, or like myself, host and engineer at the same time tonight, please contact Ani Haynes. She is our volunteer coordinator. Her email is volunteer@kboo.org. Thank you, Leanne.
Thank you, Delphine.
And we are going to leave you with the second one of the Ani Humphrey song. Do you want to introduce that one as well?
Yes.
Or remind us of what that is?
It's another collaboration between Ani Humphrey and James Starkey. He wrote the lyrics. This is Prison Writing number 21.
And I apologize, I really wanted to go to the song, but first I want to let you know that there is an opportunity for you tomorrow morning to support the Montevilla Food Co-op, which I had on my show a few weeks ago. It's a Montevilla pancake breakfast tomorrow at from 9 to 1 at the Montevilla United Methodist Church. That's 232 Southeast 80th Avenue. And there's gluten-free options, organic coffee, and door prizes, and live music and raffles. So Montevilla Food Co-op, if you are interested, montevilla.coop is the website. Have a great evening, everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.